sermon text from our Old Testament reading. Give your servant therefore an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. The words of our text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Solomon asks for wisdom in our Old Testament reading today. He also asks for an understanding mind that he may discern between what is good and what is evil. The psalmist in our psalm for today extols the love of God's law. Your commandments make me wiser than your enemies, he says. I hold my feet back from every evil way in order to keep your commands and your rules. I don't turn aside from your word. And through your precepts, says the psalmist, I gain understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Our gospel reading is bookended through these words. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God and man was upon him. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Those two sentences show us that Jesus grew and developed and learned just like we grow and develop and learn. He wasn't hampered, though, with original sin as we are. Therefore, it is said of the 12-year-old Jesus in the temple, and all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. The Word of God, both God's law and God's gospel, are good for gaining wisdom and for gaining a discerning mind. As St. Paul writes to Timothy, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. My persecutions that happened to me and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. Indeed, the persecutions which I endured yet from them, well, the Lord rescued me from those. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters go to and fro, from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Then Paul goes on to tell Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned, and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed, and useful for training, correction, reproof, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Therefore, it's there. Scripture, God's law, God's gospel, is what is essential to us. And what does Solomon want? Solomon wants a discerning mind. That's what he's asking for. In other words, he's asking for wisdom. Why? Well, it's very interesting what Solomon says. If we look back at what Solomon says there in our Old Testament reading, he says he wants to be able to discern between good and evil. This is nothing new. There's always been a problem discerning good and evil with human beings. Isaiah the prophet writes, woe to those who call good evil, and those who call evil good. Who put darkness for light, and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes, and shrewd in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine, and valiant men in mixing strong drink. Who acquit the guilty for a bribe, and deprive the most innocent of his right. We'd like to think that relativism as a philosophy, and by relativism I mean, you know, you've probably heard somebody say along the line or read somewhere, somebody said, hey, that may be right for you, but it's not right for me. As if right and wrong were a matter of personal taste and personal opinion. You might think that a philosophy like that is more of a modern philosophy, and that we are the only people who've been challenged throughout history to figure out the difference between what's right and what's wrong. But this challenge has existed ever since that ancient serpent said, "Did God really say?" Pontius Pilate even asked Jesus, "What is truth?" Basically saying that there's no such thing as truth, or that truth is what you make of it, or if you've got enough strength and enough power, you can enforce truth on anybody you want to. We'd all like to think that discerning between good and evil would be easy, that the choice to make the pick between the two would be very obvious. It wasn't obvious for Adam and Eve, and it certainly is difficult enough of a problem that Solomon wanted assistance in being able to accomplish it. We're beset on every side with such issues. For instance, January. January is Life Month, and we rightly defend against the forces of death that seek the lives of the preborn. And that road that is traveled there starts at, it should only be rare. Just happen in rare instances. And then it quickly slides to something through all the different stages to quality of life. Right? And so the slide becomes rather quick, farther along that line. But what about the other end of life? So we say, oh my gosh. Well, that amniocentesis shows there's a possibility of this, and the doctor gives the option. Well, do you want to abort the child now to avoid that? No, I'm not going to do such a thing. But at the other end of life, or close to the end, and the aged, or maybe the sick and the ill, we have life issues there too. And it comes to all of us in such sweet, honeyed words and good ideas, and it sounds great. It sounds so great. Our state last month passed a medical assistance in dying law. You know, we can see how those go just by looking at Canada and their medical assistance in dying laws there. They've slipped from, somebody who's just super, super sick to, all you got to do is tell the state you're depressed and get to the state doctors and they'll prescribe you a bunch of drugs and you can take your own life. No. Here in Illinois, the Medical Assistance in Dying Act, it's called Death with Dignity. Right? Death with Dignity. A person with a terminal illness and 6 months left to live can ask for a cocktail of pills to end their own life on their own terms. It'll take effect next September. I always thought handling things with dignity was, bucking up, not being a whiner, not complaining about everything. Sticking to your faith and holding on to what God says. Not taking pills to end your life because you want to handle things your way. And that's like, and I know. So you talk to your Lutheran pastor, your Missouri Synod pastor, and you want to see him climb the walls. Okay? You want to, I tell you what, you go to your pastor and you prepare your funeral service and you look him square in the eye and you say, "I want to sing Sinatra's My Way at my funeral." You watch your Lutheran pastor turn 16 shades of purple and things like that. No, because we don't do things our way. The Medical Assistance in Dying, the Death with Dignity Acts, they sound pretty, right? But what is that? trying to control life on your own and not letting God be in charge of such things. That's what saying, I did it my way, is all about. Not God's way, but my way. Avoid suffering. Spare yourself and spare your family the trauma. Personal autonomy is the highest good. But is it good? You shall not do murder. And self-murder is still murder. Our days and our times are in the Lord's hands. They're not in our hands. You are not your own. You are bought at a price. The enemy, if you will notice, like sin, curves in on itself. What do they say? Right? My body. Me. I am the greatest good. It is my body, and I can do with my body what I want to do with my body. Is that evil? It sounds good. It sounds good to say, as long as I'm not hurting anybody else, what's wrong with it? It sounds right. But behind the pleasant mask are the words, did God really say? Yes, God really did say. And we need discerning hearts. And we need wisdom. We need God's wisdom. We need to ask God for the wisdom and the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. And to distinguish between right and wrong, we need God's word. We need the law of God. We must recognize where God says, do this and don't do this. The law and the commandment of God give us the right direction. They show us the life of righteousness and they point us the way to eternal life. The law is a message directing me toward life, and its teaching should and must be preserved. The law, though, doesn't give me life. The law shows the purpose of indicating the will of God and of convincing us that we are unable to keep it. For it shows us that a man is not able to do God's will. Moreover, the law has been given to reveal sin, but it can't keep us from sins, and it can't pull us out of sin. The law shows us a mirror into which we are to look and to become aware that we do not have righteousness and we do not have life. Then we begin the cry, O come, Lord Jesus, and help us. Grant us the grace that we may do what the law requires of us. The prophet, the psalmist, the Savior, all grow in wisdom. And wisdom comes from the Word of God. Therefore, for each and every one of us, may we take this new year and may we be in the Word. May we grow in the Word. And as we grow in the Word, we will attain a measure of understanding and wisdom so that with the Lord's help, we will be able to discern between what is good and what is evil. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds, the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.